The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
Last week, right, by the way, it was Cork. They were occupying houses in Cork. We spoke to some guy and his comrades who were occupying a house. This week, it's moved to Dublin. And I want to know, do you support those who are occupying vacant buildings? And around 150 demonstrators marched from O'Connell Street to Summerhill Parade yesterday evening to highlight rent hikes, evictions, poor housing crisis, or I should say the housing conditions and the housing crisis. And a group of activists have taken over a vacant house in Dublin's north inner city to protest against the government inaction on the homeless crisis. The organisation Direct Action called this particular event Take Back the City. And it was hosted by North Dublin Bay Housing Crisis Community, Blanchardstown Housing Action Committee, and Dublin Central Housing Action, also the Dublin Renters Union. Take Back Trinity are in there as well, and the Brazilian Left Front are even in there. And migrants and ethnic minorities for reproductive justice are all in there as well. So it seems to be everybody involved in these small groups are all involved in this particular occupation. It is believed to be up to 10 people peacefully occupying an empty property overnight. And Michelle Connolly from Dublin Central Housing Action explained, "We are calling for vacant houses such as this to be put under public ownership so that it can be returned to use as a home for people who need it, because there are so many people at the moment who need a home." Now, Dublin Central Housing Action says that the occupation of the property at 35 Summerhill Parade is a protest against the continuing national housing crisis and the government's complete inaction. And a live Facebook video of the action of this particular protest has been posted of the group, and it shows three Gardaí speaking to protesters, asking them to leave the premises. Now, in the video, the activists say to the Gardaí that because the premises has been vacant for months, and that the occupation is a civil matter and not a criminal one. Speaking to the camera, one protester says the social housing is needed in the area and elsewhere in the country. When the activists enter the building, a number of them wearing Leo Varadkar masks, that's a bit disturbing in itself, really, isn't it? Hung a flag out the window which reads, "Homes for All." But I want to know if you support this action. Now, Sinn Féin TD Owen O'Brien gave his support for the activists, also stating online, "Credit to those activists for highlighting the government's failure to tackle the homeless, rental and vacant home crisis. Councils need ambitious targets and funding to bring vacant homes back into the use vis-a-vis CPO if necessary." And he also says, I hope to speak myself to Owen a little bit later on. But in the meantime, our reporter Robbie is live in Summerhill, and I want to know what you think. Do you think they're taking the right action? It's becoming more and more common that people are occupying empty buildings. Now, remember, of course, people say, "Oh, but there's nobody living there for 6 months." The empty buildings are owned by somebody. Somebody owns them. I don't know who. It could be a Vulture Fund. It could be a bank. It could be Dublin City Council or Cork City Council. It could be anybody. These buildings are owned by somebody. There's no such thing as a building not owned by anybody. Text 53544. Let me know. Do you agree with this type of action of taking back vacant buildings? Let me know what you think at 53544. Yes, you agree, or no, you don't agree. I want to go to our reporter Robbie, who's live on the street on the scene as we speak, and I believe he's with actually Peter Murphy, who's the founder of the Homeless Mobile Run. Good afternoon to you, Robbie.
Good afternoon, Niall, and thank you so much for that. Yes, indeed, we're live here in Summerhill today for the Niall Boylan Show. And as I look at the particular house at the moment, you mentioned the Leo Varadkar masks. A lot of activists who are in there at the moment are looking out the window with these particular masks on them. But I've managed to get Peter Murphy, who you mentioned, who was the founder of the Homeless Mobile Run, who feed over 250 people on a Wednesday and 400 on a Sunday. And he's part of this particular protest. He was here since last night, and he's live on Classic Hits now. Peter, you're very welcome along to the show. Why are you here, sir, today?
I'm here in support of solidarity to show, like, these houses are lying. This is the story with these houses. Okay. There's people being took into these houses. There's five rooms in these houses. People were took in, and it was mostly all foreign people took in, and like a room was getting auctioned off. Like, someone could come in and offer $2,000 for a room. Someone could offer then $2,500 for the room. And then what they do is they sublet it. They get in six or seven beds or six or eight bunk beds, and then they have people sleeping in cramped conditions. And then what happens then, they make their profit on that. But what happened is they all got evicted in May, and these houses are lying idle since May, when there's people on the street. People suffer from mental health, suicide thoughts, people that are being abused. all these aspects you have to look. People with addictions, you have to look beyond their addictions. What happened to them? How did they end up on the street? Some people through no fault of their own. If you see a big rise now, there's people from 18 to 24-year-olds on the street. What happens is when they were 15 and 16, they were in the care of the HSE. And what happened is if they went missing, they just get reported missing. There'll be no lookout for them or whatever. They could be missing for 5 days. But when they're found, they're just running back into a home. And with their 18, they're thrown out to go on a free phone. And what happens is they're vulnerable people. The state is that they're letting them down. So they're coming onto the street and they're looking for a friend. And unfortunately, some of them fall into the little loophole of someone that's in addiction. And before they know it, they're getting sleeping tablets. And then before you know it, then they're on heroin.
Okay, Peter, if I could just intervene here. Sorry, Niall here. And you've painted a very dark picture there of, unfortunately, what the housing crisis means to many people. And I understand there are those who are in very vulnerable and dangerous and dodgy situations. I would suggest to you that our government does have a lot of resources for people who are on drugs or people who are have alcohol problems or whatever other problems
not
they may have.
Tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. I'm not suggesting. Look, I don't believe we will ever have enough. We will always have those who are in need, right?
Yeah.
But the building that we're talking about, the one that you're standing beside there that's being occupied currently at the moment, who owns that building, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I can't think of his name.
Okay, well, you don't have to give me a name, but is it privately owned?
Pat O'Donnell.
Okay, and is it it's a privately owned building, is it?
Yeah, it's a privately owned building, but what happened is he's...
Okay, so it's a privately owned building. And how long has the building been unoccupied?
It's unoccupied since May.
Right, okay.
There's one two.
Okay, I don't need to know the man's business. All right. Yeah. Okay, so the point is that I'm trying to make is that I understand the housing crisis is a problem for many people, right? And I understand that rent hikes are a problem for many people trying to rent accommodation. I understand all the issues, and you know, I suppose the government will argue that they're working hard to try and sort it out, that Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
But is occupying the building the right action to take? Occupying a privately owned building by somebody else, essentially, that's, you know, it's trespass.
We're out there making, look at how many people that are coming to highlight this crisis. Mm-hmm. So far, the police haven't took us out. We're still there. We're occupying the building, but we're raising awareness to the situation. That's what the goal is to let people know how many buildings is empty around.
And are you supporting more so, I suppose, Peter, the people in the local area of Summerhill who are looking for accommodation? Summerhill in itself would have, say, a high unemployment rate.
I'm in support of this. I run a soup. I'm actually the founder of a soup run. I feed the homeless on Grafton Street on a Wednesday and a Sunday. On a Wednesday, I feed 200 people to 300 people. On a Sunday, I feed in excess of 400 people. And these are all coming through hostels and people. There's people actually that's in, like, rented accommodation, paying €150 a week. They're only left with €48 a week to survive. So they're coming up to use our service as well. It's not just people on the street that's suffering all this. It's people actually that are struggling to rent. And even at that, they're renting a bed in a room with 5-6 different people in one room's cramped. It's inhumane.
And these people that you say are renting these rooms with 5 and 6 people, are they unemployed? Are they employed? Do they get a rent allowance? Because the state obviously has HAP schemes and rent allowance and social welfare systems. And why aren't they availing of those services?
Why would you take HAP if then the government's going to regulate what you're doing? Whereas if you can do what this landlord is doing and renting out, auctioning the room off, and then...
Well, he's entitled to do that. He's a private landlord.
And then people are subletting it. So
but no, hang on. With the greatest respect, Peter, it's his property. He's entitled to do what he wants with it.
Yeah, but that's not normal. Was it? Not,
well, it is normal.
They won't accept HAP. This is why no one is accepting HAP. This is why this is a crisis that's going on. What's going on? Look at how many families are in hope. And then 12 families come out of a hotel.
And why do you think, why, in your own opinion, why do you think a landlord won't accept a HAP scheme when it's guaranteed money every single week? He gets it straight into the bank. Why do you think he won't accept it?
Because he's getting cash, and then what happens is cash, that can go...
Yeah, but we're talking about landlords in general now, yes,
you
obviously.
Get people, yeah, but you get then the landlord, then someone just to get the house, it offered the extra few quid, and that'll go.
Is it not because? And we've had landlords on the air say this, and it's on the record that landlords have said the reason they prefer not to, at the time it would have been rent allowance we were talking about rather than Habsky, is that they've had bad experiences.
Some, yeah, some no, but that's going to happen either with normal people or people on the HAP, isn't it? There's no difference.
According to landlords, there is a difference, that they have said that it's a bigger risk to their property because they've had bad experiences trying to, A, if somebody has a problem trying to get them back out again, where a private renter, they can get them out fairly quickly.
I understand that, but you see the situation. What happens is, years ago when we were kids were having kids, and now them kids are all grown up, and the population is expanding. And we're not able to keep up with the population. And then there's more kids going to grow up, so this is only going to grow. And then they're bringing in, no offence to anybody from a different country, but they're letting in thousands from the other countries, and they can't even house their own. Like, there's people there that was took off that boat, going to be pushed straight into houses down in at Lowen.
Let me give you an option then, Peter. We spoke last week about the fact that the 7,000 vacant houses in Leitrim. 7,000. But nobody wants them because they want to live in Dublin.
Yeah, but that's it.
I asked all the people that you represent or the people that are in that occupation at the moment, if I said, okay, I'll tell you what, you know, you've got three kids or you've got two kids or whatever it is you have, I'm going to give you a house in Leitrim, would they take it? They won't take it.
40% of them would.
I could tell you they won't, Peter.
He was, yeah.
Because the council have had this experience before.
I personally know a lot that's actually at the moving down the country. Just to get out of this environment, because it's Dublin's gone up. It's the prices of everything is just ridiculous.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed. There's Peter Murphy, who's the founder of the Homeless Mobile Run.
Thank you.
All right, no problem. No problem at all. Robbie, I mean, how many people are there at the moment?
Niall, about 30 people here at the moment, and there's a lot of media here too. Well, as you probably heard a second ago, when the cars are going past, they're actually beeping the horn in support. And I'm also here with a guy called Patrick Nellis. I beg your pardon if that's wrong. You're a Dublin West Housing Action campaigner,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
And you're here to support them as well.
Yeah, we're here to support them, and I'll be occupying the building as well. So
you're going to occupy the building yourself personally?
Yes, yes.
Now, I believe there's no electricity in there and there's water. Is that correct?
There's no electricity and water. Now, there was for a time being last night. It was switched off early this morning.
What's going to happen? How are they going to survive then with no electricity or water?
We'll find a way. If there's a will, there's a way.
And sorry, Patrick, if I could ask you, I mean, we understand that obviously these are not the houses people obviously want, okay? This is obviously done to raise awareness. Do you think it's going to work? Because Apollo House didn't work. It didn't seem to make any difference.
Yeah, well, see the difference. I wasn't involved in Apollo House, but I'm involved in this, and I can guarantee there will be radical action taken over now the next couple of weeks. This will not be the only empty dwelling that we will be entering. And,
but when you say they're empty dwellings, it is a privately owned dwelling.
It's a privately owned dwelling.
And those people weren't, and I'm sorry, I'm only giving you the from the legal point of view, they weren't invited onto the property, so it's essentially trespass. Now, it's up to one Garda Síochána whether they want to do anything about that, and the landlord.
Well, I spoke to myself, the Garda Síochána, last night, and we agreed to disagree. I said it's a civil matter.
Well, it's not. It's trespass. It's not a civil matter.
Well, we'll agree to disagree. Well,
let me put it to you. I'm only giving you, you know, from a point of view. I mean, I don't know what it'll achieve, and I do hope it achieves something, right? But what I'm saying to you is, if you had a holiday home, for example, and you weren't there for 6 months of the year, and somebody else decided that they wanted to live in it or occupy in it, would you call that a civil matter?
But this is not a holiday home we're talking about.
But it doesn't make any difference whether it's a holiday home or not. It's a private... The thing about it is, anything that the landlord has done in those properties is entirely his business. And if indeed anything that you believe is untoward, you have a responsibility to report that if you believe that's the way it should be, right? But in relation to the buildings themselves, they are owned privately. So when you're saying it's a civil matter, if there were Dublin Corporation buildings, we could probably argue it's maybe a civil matter because it's owned by the state. But these are privately owned buildings, so it's trespass. So, but we'll park it aside anyway for the moment.
Okay.
But in saying that, so how many people are in there at the moment?
Well, there's 15 in there at the moment. There'll be 20 at night, and there'll be a few more outside. And the reason we're doing this, there's so many thousands and thousands empty dwellings like this across Dublin, across our state.
But what do you do about it, Patrick? I mean, the thing about it is, it would cost money to get those dwellings ready.
But it's up to the corporations to CPO all these dwellings and take them off landlords that they're not willing to put them out to use there. Something I want to touch on as well, the HAP is not working. I am in the RTB mostly every day of the week representing tenants that are in HAP properties, and landlords are using the three excuses. They're renovating, moving a family member in, or selling to get them out. Then they're upping the rent above the 4%.
And why are landlords doing that?
Because they're greedy, and they don't. And if you go to most viewings, I've been in a lot of viewings with tenants, and the minute you mention HAP, we'll get back to you. Landlords will not accept HAP, and I believe that's to do with they're not tax compliant.
Do you think that's, well, that's one reason, possibly because they're not being tax compliant. The other reason is they're discriminating, because, and landlords have said in the past, I remember there was a report out going back a couple of years ago before HAP came along when we had rent allowance, and landlords, the suggestion was they would prefer to rent to private renters because they believe there wasn't as much footfall on the property and as much damage to the property.
Well, that's like in all areas, if you private rented or you'd be HAP, in all areas, you'll get the small minority.
Well, they're cherry picking, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they are cherry picking. I think the landlords don't want to accept HAP because they're discriminating and they want the cash under the table. They don't want to.
I don't think it's always. I'm not disagreeing that happens, and it does happen, absolutely, Patrick, but I'm not disagreeing it happens. But I don't think it's always the case.
You're making the assumption that. It's HAP tenants that wreck properties. That's not.
No, I'm not making. No, I'm not making the assumption. That was a report out going back about 2 years ago in relation to rent allowance that said that landlords, I can't remember the exact percentage, had said that they'd prefer not to take people on rent allowance, that they had their own personal experience. They had less trouble with people who were private renters.
I believe that's very misleading, and that's misleading the public. I know even landlords now that take the HAP. And landlords can get up to $19.50 a month for a three-bed. And I don't think in any way the government or the council should be subsidising. It's $27 million a month.
But, well, I mean, Patrick, what's the end result here? And what is going to solve this, you know, inverted commas, housing crisis? Unless we suddenly magically built, you know, 20,000 or 30,000 homes tomorrow. Which I don't think is necessary, because there are homes out in the suburbs. There's hope. I mentioned to our previous person, Peter Murphy, there was 7,000 homes in Leitrim which are sitting there vacant in ghost estates.
Exactly. Why not the council take over those ghost estates and house the people?
Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you.
In Dublin alone, I estimated up to 30,000 empty buildings. But the only solution to this is that the private landlords are not going to adhere by the rules set out in the Residential Tenancies Act. I think that it's social and affordable housing should be built by the council. There's enough land there to build social and affordable housing.
Okay, I'm looking at some of the text coming in. Somebody says, so the way to highlight the illegality of subletting is to illegally occupy the building. Is that not the same thing, says Kevin in Limerick? Another person says, Niall, I accept that we have a huge problem, but I don't believe this is the way to sort it out. Another person says, Niall, fair play to them. Is there any chance we could go up and join in? Well, I'm sure you can.
Well,
if you go to somewhere.
We will welcome all kind of bodies, because it's not going to be it's not going to be the end yet. And I believe it's time the government woke up, and it's time for us to take back our city. The people have the power. The people are in control. And I'm nothing like Apollo House. If I have to get jailed for occupying a building, I will. I'm fighting for the homeless crisis. We're dealing with every day of the week the people in the street. There's nearly 10,000 people in an emergency accommodation. 4,000 of those are children. I don't think it's fair.
And I would completely agree with you. It's not an ideal situation for children to be in. But are the government solely responsible for that, or do people themselves, in some cases, have to take some personal responsibility as well?
The government are 80% responsible, because I'll tell you why. There was a development there in Tala, 442 apartments a couple of years ago, sold off to a vulture fund. And the government could have took those apartments and put them into social and affordable housing, but they decided to sell it off cheap to a vulture fund from Canada. And so they are to blame. They're letting vulture funds come in.
Would you not put any of the blame, and I'm not certainly suggesting everybody, but there are people out there who need to make a bit of an effort as well when it comes to their own children and providing for their own children.
But if the people don't have the means to provide for their own children, they depend on the HAP. And like you said earlier, a lot of landlords are discriminating against the HAP. They won't accept it. They said, we'll get back to you, and they don't. I deal with it every day of the week. I deal with it on the ground. And I had somebody that had over 60 emails and phone calls made in the last week alone, and the minute HAP is mentioned, we'll get back to you. So landlords are abusing the system, saying we'll get back to you, because they're not discriminating when they say they get back to you, and they're renting out them to the private rental market. But we're being priced out of the private rental market as well. I know people that are in...
Well, we are if we want to live in a city.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to live in a city, if you're not working, for example, a single mum, two children, maybe there's no father in the scene, maybe, and she's not working, she doesn't need to be in the city, does she?
No, but the housing crisis goes beyond Dublin as well as we know. It does,
but as I say to you, there's a lot more possibilities for getting vacant properties outside Dublin than there is inside Dublin.
I agree, but I know somebody is trying to get a transfer outside Dublin at the minute, down into Kildare, and Kildare won't accept them.
Okay, Robbie, we'll come back to you straight after the break, all right?
Thanks, Matt.
If you're driving past the Summerhill area, give them an obtuse of your horn there if you support them. If you don't like some of our texts, well, you don't have to. Ask Owen O'Brien from Sinn Féin what Dublin City Council are doing about the homeless, as Sinn Féin have the majority of councillors in the area, says Mike. One cure for the housing is evict the second and third generation people who have never contributed to the state. Somebody else says, Niall, I know somebody who's a single person living in a four-bedroom council house in my area. They've been there for the last 15 years since their mother died, and there is absolutely no need for it. All right, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of that kind of going on. There is houses where people, you know, are sort of there after mother and father died, and the daughter or son might be there for the next 20 years, and there's just no need for it. That house should be passed on to somebody else. There's loads of situations like that. The council need to get their finger out, for God's sake. Let me go back to Robbie, our reporter, who's on the street in Summerhill where there's a property being occupied. Robbie, go ahead.
That's it, Niall. We're live here in Summerhill today on the Niall Boylan Show, and the text I mentioned Sinn Féin, and I'm actually here, would you believe, with the former Lord Mayor of Dublin, Councillor Micheál McDonaghan. Micheál, you're live in Classic Hits 4FM today. You're here to support them. You weren't here last night. What's your reason?
Well, I'm here to support the activists because we need to continue to up the ante on the housing crisis. And as a councillor and as Dublin City Council, we are making the greatest efforts that we can to address this housing crisis. But in the end of the day, if we do not have the funding, if we do not have the legal powers, and if we do not have the putting of the red tape by central government, it's going to be impossible to properly address this housing crisis.
Micheál, could I put it to you that money doesn't seem to be the issue here. It's administration is the problem. Because let's be honest, we spent, God, I think it was, what, 50 or 60 million last year on temporary accommodation, and probably twice that this year on temporary accommodation for people who are in inappropriate situations. So money is not the issue. It's getting the heads together to sort out the problem.
Unfortunately, it is, because the money is held by central government, and we face obstacle upon obstacle upon obstacle. Not far from here, you have a site in Dominic Street, which is ready for public housing to be developed there for years.
But why are we talking about sites in the centre of the city?
Because, well, you asked the question about delays and money. Just around the corner from here is the Custom House, the Department of Housing. That's where the delay is coming from, in the example, just for one example, of Dominic Street. We are ready to go ahead, the council is ready to go ahead on many projects, but they are delay upon delay upon delay. And what this occupation also highlights is the plight of tenants in the private rented sector. People are being fleeced by massive rents in the private rented sector. There is little or no protection. That can only be provided by central government through legislation, through rent control, through protecting people from eviction and notices to quit. People are losing their homes. They're losing their homes because landlords are free to put up rent. They're free to sell properties from under people who then have to move on. We have the gentrification, particularly of the city centre of Dublin, where even for people on decent incomes, it's becoming completely unaffordable to live in this city. At one time, we had people emigrating because of lack of work. We now have employment, but people are completely priced out of the market.
But have we got a situation, if I can explain this to you, and I tried to explain this before on the air, and maybe people didn't quite understand the point I was trying to make. In Dublin City, for example, and I'll use Dublin as an example, I'm pretty sure Cork and Galway and everywhere else is pretty much the same situation, but in Dublin City, we have a lot of people living in the city who don't need to be living in the city, who are living in council housing or in council flats, who don't need to be really to be living in the city. They would be much better off outside in, I'm not suggesting rural Ireland, but certainly out in the suburbs, they would be far better off. They could probably get a better property, a larger property, outside the city. Those properties could then be made vacant for people who are working in the city and who are willing to pay private rent. The way we're doing things is just all wrong, isn't it?
I think that is an absolutely astonishing an arrogant assertion to, for anyone to make, no matter who they make it. Who makes?
But we have a. But Dublin City Council have already said they have a serious problem with people turning down properties.
People in local authority homes, whether they're in the city centre or any other part of the city, are entitled to live where they live. They live in their communities. Many of these are families are living in the city for generations. Many of them, in fact, most of them are actually working or part-time working. They are paying rent. And in some cases, their parents paid rent.
So I'm not suggesting those were not working.
That this idea that they're somehow freeloading in the city centre and that they should be turfed in.
Did I use the word freeloading?
Well, you used the word freeloading, actually.
I never suggested that at all.
You said...
Okay, what I'm saying is, for a city to operate, for a country to operate and a city to operate...
Who may be working in the IFSC or whatever.
But maybe you're not understanding or listening to what I'm actually saying.
Maybe you're not understanding or listening to what I'm actually saying.
What I'm saying is that the council have said in the past that many people are turning down housing that they've been offered on the outskirts of a city because they want to live in the city because... And the general excuses used are it's near a relation, it's near a school, or whatever it is. What we need to do, and what I mean, it doesn't take joined up thinking to do this, is try and help people to live where they want to live within reason. But it's not always possible to have somebody sitting there for 18 months on a housing waiting list or whatever it happens to be, in temporary accommodation, waiting for their ideal property to come up. Instead of saying, look, that property's not going to happen for you.
You are suggesting from anecdotal evidence that the problem is based on people's choice in terms of...
That's not anecdotal, by the way. That's a report from Dublin City Council.
Let me finish, please. In terms of offers of accommodation, that is a tiny blip in the situation.
Well, not according to the council, it's not a blip.
If you listen to what I'm saying, that's a tiny blip. The problem is the supply of social and affordable housing.
Absolutely.
Public housing is not there.
Absolutely. But again, I'm going to say to you for the third time today...
Far from the idea that people are turning down accommodation, the supply is not there.
But look, you seem to think I'm against you. I am not against the idea of this occupation. I am not against the idea of helping people. And I think everybody believes everybody should be helped. Everybody should have a roof over their head. There is no doubt about that. But what I'm saying is we're doing it wrong. We're not doing it right. Half the country want to live in Dublin. It's just not possible.
It's not being done at all. That is the problem. There is no social and affordable housing being developed. What is being developed is a tiny fraction of what is needed, and it's taking far too long to deliver. That is the problem. Now, as I was trying to say there, this was done under previous governments, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, where they built mixed-income public housing estates. They bought homes as well. And people, not just people on the lowest level in terms of social welfare and low pay, which, because of the low supply at the moment, that those are the people who end up qualifying on the massive waiting list. But in the past, sufficient public housing was built to house people, including people on different levels of income. And that's what's needed today. Instead of that, the entire housing policy has been abandoned to the market, to property developers. And that is the problem. That is the core of the problem. The government knows it's a solution. Well, unfortunately, it's in the pockets and it's in cahoots with the landlord sector and the property market.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Micheál. I appreciate you coming on the air today. All right, Robbie, we're going to come back to you in a second. Our reporter, Robbie Kane, is on the scene outside the house in Summerhill that's been occupied. James, I'm so sorry for keeping you so long. James, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Niall.
Yes, James.
I'm listening away there all the time to Sinn Féin, of course. You see, Sinn Féin have the opportunity to put their ideas into working if they want to go into government. They refuse to go into government unless they're a dominant partner, which is convenient for them, so that's their excuse for not going in, Niall. Secondly, we have these protests in Cork as well. We spoke to them last week, yes. The Connolly movement. And what these people are
and
doing...
And their comrades.
What these people are doing is they're cynically using these people's misfortune to raise their own profile. That's what they're doing. And not one of these people will be able to, with all the shouting and roaring, put one roof over anybody's house, anybody's head. The only people who are capable of doing this are the government. They have the resources... and there's no one else can do it. But shouting and roaring and occupying buildings will not house one person. Apollo House, as you know, was a complete debacle. And all it had was D-celebrities trying to make themselves look good, and nobody was housed out of that. Although there was a lot of money raised, and no one ever found out where the money went to now, as you know.
There was quite a substantial amount of money raised.
Nobody ever accounted for where that money went to.
Well, I've been told that it went towards other housing charities. Now, I mean, it was. I would like to think it was split up amongst other housing charities. I don't know where it went. But I would agree to you, at the time, Apollo House did raise a bit of awareness. But you're right, nothing happened. Okay, so nothing has changed. So, but James... But James, with respect, you know my feelings on this. And I find it difficult sometimes to argue with the left. You know, when I hear these occupations, I initially don't agree with it. But it's difficult to disagree with councillor after councillor, after TD, saying, well, what are the government doing for these people? And realistically, at this stage, we know it's a problem.
Of course, but it's a problem in every city in Europe now. It's a problem in London in bigger numbers.
Absolutely.
I was only watching Paris yesterday on RTE, and they have a ferocious heat problem at the moment with the temperatures. And they were speaking to homeless people in Paris who were trying to get into the shade out of the heat now. So every city has it. The United States, I was looking at the other day in a documentary by Billy Connolly in Philadelphia City, where they have a tent village which is the size of...
Well, that doesn't make it right. Just because it's happening elsewhere doesn't make it right. We would like to think we're better than that.
The powerful economy in the world, and they have a massive homeless problem. So we are a tiny...
So, okay, so let me ask you, James. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that 10,000 people, roughly, are in temporary accommodation, costing the state probably 60 million so far this year? Whose fault is that?
Well, it's probably the collateral damage from the property crash. Now, you must remember, in the property crash, all the builders, good builders now, men who have been building for years, like Mike Lovell and Ian Cox, they all went bust now. And none of them were in a position to start up again. People like Mike Loughlin, who's middle-aged now, Niall. So that is one of the reasons. That I also, Niall, never believed it was a good idea for example, for this HAP scheme or this money being put to private landlords. It's no good to anyone. It's no good to the tenant. It's no good to the government. It's money down the drain. Even I would just certainly believe.
So what's the alternative?
I still believe in social housing now and affordable housing. But this Sinn Féin TD just a moment ago.
But you could say affordable housing. There are people out there who can't afford affordable housing.
But the other day I was just watching RT News, and there was a development, and the people are getting their keys now for affordable development here. It was either Ballymun or Ballyfermot, about 20 houses, and all they were all middle single people. They were nice little houses now, about 150,000 to 200,000, but they were affordable houses. So there are those schemes there now.
But every time those schemes are suggested, you know, you've everybody up in arms giving out saying you can't be putting people in those.
But the people are buying, the government are actually buying houses as well and putting them out of social houses, actually buying them on the open market.
I mean, I know of a situation where there's a woman and she has two daughters. One of them would be very young, the other one would be in her teens or late teens. She's working. I think she's probably working for cash in some sense. For a part of it's for cash, and the other part probably goes through the books. But she's currently, she was, in an apartment. With her two children, paid for by the state, obviously on a rent allowance or whatever it was, and now just been given a three-bedroom house worth €400,000 in Dublin. Now, I believe that's unnecessary. There was nothing wrong with her being in the apartment. Why does somebody need the three-bedroom house?
Well, to see, as you know, there are all those different individual cases now, but to see, what I'm getting back to is these protesters, they're not doing any good now. They will not house one person, simple as that.
Niall, are we forgetting the main crux of the matter here? This is a privately owned dwelling. These people are breaking the law, simple as. There has to be other ways of raising awareness. Now, a great spin for our failed government, or is that just a personal grudge you have? Your comments are disgraceful. Hope you and your family never have to endure it. Well, I think we've all endured it at some point, haven't we? Deciding where we can live based on how much money we have, etc., etc. I was just trying to make common sense, suggesting there isn't enough room in Dublin City for everybody who wants to live here. Unfortunately, people will have to live in the suburbs. That's the worst life, isn't it? If Paul Murphy wants to help him... To propose a motion to reduce politicians' pay by 50%. The savings will build a good few houses, says Paddy in Cork. Well, I don't know if they'd save that much, in fairness, Paddy. Let me go back to Robbie if I can. And I want to come to Grace in a second as well before I go to the news, because while Paul Murphy is there. But Robbie, go ahead. You're outside this property in Summerhill. Go ahead.
Yes, I am indeed, Niall, and good timing there because you mentioned Paul Murphy. And I just managed to nab him. He's just back from Grace, and thankfully he wasn't near the recent fires there. Paul, you're very welcome along on the Niall Boylan Show and Classic Hits for a long. We've been here before. Of course, a lot of politicians here today supporting the people that's inside the house. Do you think it's a good idea? Will it work?
I think it's a great idea. I think everyone will remember what happened with Apollo House, which was the Christmas before last, where people occupied Apollo House, where homeless people were able to get accommodation, and where it served as a real focal point for showing how bad the housing crisis is, but also that people can take action to try to resolve the crisis. And it did build political pressure on the government.
But did it achieve anything, Paul?
Well, ultimately, the government didn't do what they needed to do. They've announced plan after plan after plan, but they're all based on the same thing, which is incentivising the private market and private developers to deliver housing, which hasn't worked. But I think it did serve to mobilise people and raise awareness, and this can play the same role. It can become the same focal point. But I think what we need to do then is to build a wider movement around this occupation and any other occupations that take place.
But then what we're doing is encouraging civil disobedience.
We are, yeah. I'm encouraging civil disobedience. I think everybody across the country knows that civil disobedience worked when it came to the water charges.
Yeah, but the water charges, we weren't occupying private buildings. I mean, if that was my... Well, I'm not suggesting it's a holiday home for any stretch of the imagination, but if that was my home and I had left it vacant for 6 months because maybe I was on holidays or maybe it was my holiday home and I come back and there was 10 people in it, I wouldn't be very pleased. So it's a private... It is a private dwelling, belonged to somebody.
It is. It isn't someone's holiday home.
It's No, absolutely. I'm giving you an example, but from a legal point of view, it still belonged to somebody.
From a legal point of view, yeah. But that's the point is, ultimately, do we put the right of developers, of landlords, of bankers to maximise their profits above the right of people to a home?
But if you were telling me it was owned by a vulture fund, Paul, you know, maybe we could have a slightly different conversation, right? But the fact that it's a privately owned building and it's owned by a landlord, it is his building. And if we're encouraging people to do that all over the country, it's probably not the best suggestion in the world. Surely there's something else we can do, or there's other ways to draw attention to what is this housing crisis.
But as you know, the housing crisis is getting worse and worse and worse on a daily basis. And that's at, you know, every rung of the housing ladder, from the over 10,000 people who are now officially homeless to the people who are facing rising rents, you know, well above the 4% supposed rent cap, who are under pressure and face losing their homes, from the people who are trying to buy a home who can't afford it, to the people faced with vulture funds. The housing crisis affects a huge number of people across the country. And the government hasn't budged. It's budged in terms of rhetoric, and it said, oh, they're doing this, that and the other and social housing, but they're not. And so we need to build a movement of protest and pressure to
I don't disagree with protest. I think the water protests worked. It certainly put pressure on the government. It was everyday people were out there on the streets protesting. Is that not the proper way to do things? You know, breaking into houses, essentially, or occupying houses. And it happened in Cork last week as well with the Connolly movement. I mean, him and his comrades, as he called them, occupying houses, is only going to end up with people being arrested and sent to jail.
Well, I think, to go back to the water charges, the protests were extremely important, and they did create a political crisis for the government. But I think everybody knows that if everybody had been paying their water charges, well, then there's a very large degree of chance right now that we'd still have water charges, even though people had protested. So what the water charge showed was that a combination of direct action, civil disobedience, giving people confidence, and major political protests resulted in a change of policy. And I think that's what needs to happen on housing. So it isn't the occupations alone, and it isn't protests alone, and there's a major protest planned for September. It's a combination of them can force, one can build a mass movement.
But again, Rome was only built, can't be built in 2 days either. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, we
had to start building Rome one day, and they still haven't. You know, this government, the last government...
We can't wave a magic wand, Paul, and suddenly have, you know, 50 or 60,000 social houses just sitting there waiting for people to jump into. That's not going to happen, and you know as well as I do. So that would be an impossible task for the government and an impossible dream. So realistically, these things happen slowly. You knew that was going to happen, that they were going to make a promise. It would happen slowly over time. But there are other measures that we could take. And we talked already about, say, for example, the 7,000 vacant homes that are currently in Leitrim and places like that around the country, which could be easily occupied by people or people put into them legitimately. But they won't go to them because they want to live in cities. But just Paul, before I let you go there, I have one caller just wants to talk to you very quickly. Grace, you're on Classic Hits.
Oh, sorry, Grace. Hello, I just hired you up here. I apologise.
Sorry, Paul. Please bear with me. Grace, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Her tummy just... what I'm thinking is, how can you associate the water protest as with entering private property, constitutionally held ownership. You can't, a politician should know better than that. The water belongs, the waters of Ireland and its rivers and lakes belong to the people of Ireland. That's what the people were protesting about. Nothing at all about the protests that they're associating it with now. In my property, you can't come in and take my car in my driveway, say, because it was lying there for 6 weeks, it's yours.
Because it's theft.
That's illegal. And I think the landlord here has a duty also to go to the courts, get a provision from the courts, so the guards are there to do their duty, not just to police something that is at the moment a stalemate. The landlord has a duty of care here, that he should go to the court, seek possession of his property, and then the guards will do their job. But what he's doing is he's not going to court. He's allowing the guard to do the job for him. That's wrong, too. You know, you cannot just walk into people's places. You know, talk about places, houses and things being refused. I mean, a lot of people...
Do you accept, Grace, that there are a lot of people in very difficult situations in this country who can't afford a roof over their head?
I accept there's a lot of freeloaders. And
they're not all freeloaders, in fairness.
Not all. I said
I'm not suggesting there aren't freeloaders. There are freeloaders, yes.
There's a lot of freeloaders. There's a psychic in this country that we're entitled to everything that's yours. And I'm sorry, as far as I'm concerned, what's mine's mine. And nobody's entitled to it. Now, they get enough from me. Indirectly, and from people who have property and wages, they get enough as it is. Now, I'm not saying they're not entitled to a home or that, but I think the procedures of putting people into hotels should have stopped long, long ago. That money should.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Put them out on the street?
It should have been diverted into building homes for people.
Okay, I would completely agree. Well, listen, Paul. Again, I don't know if Apollo House really achieved anything. It may have achieved a bit of media attention, but at the end of the day, you know, what happened afterwards was very little. I mean, apart from a few promises from the government, and those promises probably would have had to have come anyway.
Well, I think the point is that we won't, I think, be accepting the idea of the government making a few empty promises and the occupation will end, there'll be no protest.
But you accepted the last time.
I don't think that should be accepted this time. I don't think the government can be taken at good faith, as acting in good faith. I think they act in the interest fundamentally of the developers, of the landlords. They refuse to take, you know, even more minimal actions, like imposing proper rent controls, like using vacant homes in Leitrim and right across the country, because they stand for a system based on incentivizing these private developers. And I think the only way we're going to force a change in policy is through actions like this. And I encourage people to come down to 35 Summerhill Parade to show your solidarity and support, and through mass protests like is planned for September.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Paul Murphy. Robbie, we'll be back with you straight after the break, all right? The news today is kind of reminiscent of Christmas 2 years ago when Apollo House was occupied. A group of around 150 demonstrators have marched from O'Connell Street to Summerhill Parade yesterday to highlight rent hikes, evictions and poor housing conditions. There's a lot of groups involved in what they call Take Back the City. And it's hosted by North Dublin Bay Housing Crisis Community, Blanchardstown Housing Action Committee, Dublin Central Housing Action, Dublin Renters Union, Take Back Trinity, Brazilian Left Front, and Migrants and Ethnic Minorities for Reproductive Justice, whatever that has to do with it. I really don't know. But anyway, they're all involved in this, and it's an occupation of a group of houses in Summerhill. And I'm asking you, do you support these occupations? Last week we spoke to the Connolly Movement, who occupied houses in Cork. It seems to be becoming a common event. Remembering, of course, that I suppose there were a little bit of a grey area when it comes to the legislation and the law around this. Last week, of course, we argued with the Connolly Movement and basically said what they were doing was illegal. And Garda Síochána obviously didn't, on that particular occasion, didn't take names or arrest anybody. But I believe they're probably taking legal advice on this. They're probably within their rights to do so, because it is a private dwelling. It is owned by a landlord. And the same last week in Cork. And essentially, it's called trespassing. Squatters' rights don't kick in till you're there at least 12 years. So I don't know where squatters' rights, or you could claim sort of any kind of squatters' rights on it. But in any case, getting back to it, do you support it? Do you support this new movement? Paul Murphy has just stated that he encourages people to take over vacant properties. So he's encouraging civil disobedience by his own admission, he said. And some of the texts coming in, I wonder would Paul Murphy have the same opinion if he, when he came home from his holiday in Greece and found his property had been occupied by so-called activists. Another person says, Niall, I think a roof over your head is right. Where that roof is geographically is not a right. If tomorrow I could no longer afford my home, I would do anything to keep a roof over my family's heads, even if it meant living in a one-bedroom flat in Timbuktu. There is too much of a sense of entitlement to this. I'd love to live where my family does, but I can't afford it. That's called real life, says Mel and Donabate. And Albert says, now, fair play to them. I think the only action the government understands is disaction. I don't think disaction is a word, but however. In other words, you obviously believe that illegality is the only action they understand. All right, let me go back to our reporter, Robbie, who's out on the street. He's outside the dwelling in Summerhill, which has been occupied. Robbie.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Niall. We're outside number 35 here in Summerhill. Lots of support here today. And you mentioned Take Back Trinity, and I'm here with Conor Reddy, who was there since last night. Conor, you're on your way home to get a bit of a rest and a bit of a wash because there's no water or electricity in there. But the reason why you're here since last night, tell us.
Oh, well, just to update you on that, there actually is electricity in there now. We've managed that. We've got that in. And so it's actually quite peachy in there now.
How'd you manage to get the electricity going?
That's something only your electrician knows. So
is that another illegality we need to talk about?
I'm not the expert. Say no more. Basically, yeah. When we're asking why I'm involved and why we're involved as a group, Take Back Trinity, we recognise every year that there's this kind of mad scramble for places to stay when you're trying to get an education and like kind of
student accommodation. Yes,
but like there's a massive shortage in this city. The Higher Education Authority published a report last year where they're looking at this shortage and they managed to quantify it. They say that by 2025 there's going to be an extra 30,000 students in higher education in some form in Ireland, and there just aren't the places for these people to stay. The places aren't being built. In the last year, we've kind of seen some turnaround, and we've seen these shiny new corporate places built by the likes of Hines and Harris and other international kind of property firms and property development firms. These places are completely untenable. Rent can stretch as high as $1,500 per month. That's on top of fees and the cost of living in general. So there's this, like,
Can I ask you a question just in relation to that? And maybe this is just part of my ignorance in this, because obviously I have a son who's in education as well, in third level education, right? Is that not just part and parcel of the cost of education? Considering that Ireland, in comparison to most countries in the world, has very low level costs when it comes to education, we pay administration costs.
Well, for a start,
education is expensive, isn't it?
For a start, we're the second highest fees in all of Europe, and we don't officially have fees. Like, it's only Britain that are ahead of us. That's a fact. And when you factor in the cost of living and low wages that a lot of young people face, it's an untenable situation. Education is becoming a preserve of kind of the elite and the wealthy. I'm from Finglas myself. I'm a working class lad. I'm in Trinity, obviously, but I work my arse off to get there. And like, if there's a lot
but
of
but you've done
like
it,
me,
haven't you? You've
yeah,
achieved it.
I've done it, but that situation is becoming untenable for people below me and people
below.
Than me.
With respect, people below you on low incomes would be getting a grant. I imagine a Susie grant from the States.
And I get a grant too, but if I was coming up from Carlow and I needed to live in Dublin, like the rent in these new places is like three times the maximum rate that you can get on Susie. So it's completely untenable, and that's before you've even factored in living or enjoying your life, which I believe fundamentally
let's deal with one thing at a time. Let's deal with the student grant or the student accommodation. I mean, the government were the ones who abolished the idea of bed sits years ago, and of course they talked about this during the year about bringing them back again or making it available again, because bed sits, of course, Rap Minds was called Flatland at one stage, and bed sits were, you know, where we accommodated students. All a student really needs is a sink, a shower and a bed, and a microwave. I mean, realistically, you're a student, and I don't mean that disrespectfully to you, but we've all been there. That's all you kind of need until you get yourself on your feet, isn't it?
Maybe as at a basic level, but I'd be more ambitious. And I think, like, you look at what other countries in Europe can provide. Countries that, like, we're in the same kind of economic bracket as countries like Germany and Belgium and Holland, where there's
we're not in the same economic brackets as Germany or anywhere close to us.
Not Germany, but like, look, we're doing well. There's a recovery in this country, and we are a wealthy nation. We should be able to provide
Okay, I would agree with you. We should be doing things a lot better than the money we have. But because we're limited over time, let me get back to this occupation of this home in Summerhill, right? So, I mean, this is a private landlord's property. Essentially, what's happening is illegal. We understand that, right? Paul Murphy is encouraging people. Sorry?
We'd contest that.
How can you contest that?
We'd contest that this is a civil matter.
How can you contest it's not trespassing?
We've sought some... Well, there might have been a trespass initially, but now that the building is open and the dynamics of how that happened as well, we'd contest that makes us a civil trespass. So, like, we've
a civil trespass?
We've gotten some legal advice at the moment, and I don't believe there's such a thing as a civil trespass,
but however, squatting would be the only thing you could claim, but you can only claim that after 12 years.
Because we're not here because we need to be here. We're not here because we need a roof over our head. We're here because we want to, because we're demanding something political. We're demanding Dublin City Council takes action and takes these places.
But they will argue they are taking action as quick as they possibly can, but they're limited by the amount of land available.
There's actually elected councillors who agree with us now and are looking at the possibility of forwarding a motion to Dublin City Council. It has cross-party support too, I might add. I can't go into specifics. But that it would ask the City Council to commit to compulsory purchase these properties here in Summerhill, but also other vacant sites that exist around the city, vacant land.
What about other vacant sites that are around the country? You were going to say the country before you said the city.
That was a slip of the tongue.
Let's look at your slip of the tongue. I think it's an interesting one because there are lots of vacant sites around the country.
It should happen around the country too. But
absolutely. So why can't we move people out of the city who don't need to be in the city?
Because people have a right to the city. This is our city.
Hang on a second. Everybody has a right to a shelter, okay? That's the constitutional
International vulture funds have no right to this city. This is our city. This is like.
But it doesn't give you the right to have a roof over your head in the city.
Well, look, rights are a construct. And, like, our interpretation of rights is that they should serve, like, the multitude, the many, rather than the few, rather than international.
So you believe we should all have a right to live where we want to live?
I believe that anybody who wants to live in Dublin City, any normal person, should have that right. And it should be
Dublin City is going to have to expand then, isn't it?
Yeah, there should be public housing built here like there was in the past. Like even when we're in massive periods of kind of financial economic depression, we were able to.
But do you understand the economics of that as a student? What are you studying at the moment, by the way?
I'm studying genetics.
Genetics, okay, obviously, okay. So you're not studying the economics of this situation. You understand how it works because you can't have a city just expand as quickly as you're suggesting. You can't provide that much social housing as quickly as you're suggesting.
Look at how many cranes there are all over the city.
Okay, but
we have to ask. What they're building, though.
They're private companies who are... The cranes around the country, the city are usually private companies building office blocks.
Firms that don't serve our social needs.
Yes, they do. What are you talking about? For example, there's cranes across from me here at the moment, and I think one of them is building a new building for Google, for example. That's private. They're private companies. They're entitled to build office blocks.
This is a sham. Ireland's in the same league as Bermuda. It's a tax haven, and most of these companies that are setting up around the IFSC and the Docklands
are providing employment.
They're not providing employment.
So nobody's working in them.
One office in the IFSC that has something like 1,400 companies registered in it, and there's three people working there.
Apple aren't employing 6,000 people in this country.
And what are the terms of employment? And you look at like,
so when you when you take all the head offices of all the multinational companies that are in this country, you're telling me they don't employ people.
Not these new places, not these new financial firms. It's a drop in the ocean. They employ people. They employ professionals. They don't employ ordinary people. They don't provide decent.
5% of the companies in this country, and most of them are multinational, are paying 95% of the income tax.
Look, I'm arguing about a specific set of corporations.
Okay, so then we've moved on to something completely different. But the point is, what I'm arguing with you about is, what is it going to achieve? Things can't move any quicker than you're suggesting they're moving.
They can, though. There are plenty of sites around the city. And I'll give you one example. There's a site in O'Devany Gardens in Dublin 7.
Do you realise how much O'Devany Gardens is costing to renovate?
Yeah,
roughly 500,000 per unit. You could build a four-bedroom house for that.
You know what that is, Niall? It's because we're sucked into a model of public-private partnerships that cost the state far more money than it would cost.
I would much prefer to level O'Devany Gardens and build a wonderful housing estate for all the people who used to live there. It would be so much cheaper.
look, we agree on something for once. Look, if we had if we had direct build schemes where the state employs people in the construction service, paid them a decent wage to build fully public housing, 100% public.
But there's loads of public housing. Like, no. I mentioned four times at the start of the show, there's public housing, there's 7,000 vacant properties in built in Leitrim alone.
In 2017, Niall, Dublin
they won't take them.
Built 197, the whole country, there's 197 public homes, new public homes delivered. Whatever Fine Gael wants.
But they won't take them. You're missing the point. They won't take them.
But there's 10,000 people homeless and they built 197 public homes.
But hold on, there's houses all over the country that are empty. There's 10,000 people living in hotels. You offer those people those houses, they won't take them. They want to live in Dublin.
They absolutely. Well, why not build public housing in Dublin, Niall?
Because there's already public housing there. Why would you want to build more of it? There's already housing we could use as public housing, much cheaper, but people won't move.
A majority of councillors on Dublin City Council voted 2 years ago for a fully public scheme on O'Devney Gardens, 100% public, provided by the council. What happened afterwards was the bureaucracy in Dublin City Council kicked up a fuss, said that it wasn't tenable because they're wed to this model of private finance initiatives and public-private partnerships.
Yeah, the end result there, 500,000 per apartment or for flat.
Yeah, because it's a more expensive model.
I'm running rapidly out of time and I've loads of people to talk to and I do appreciate you talking to us today. And I
would like to finish on one thing, though. Just why Take Back Trinity are involved specifically. The student housing crisis that I mentioned earlier is artificially divorced from the crisis that exists at large. Like, this crisis will only be solved by the coming together of all these grassroots groups and student groups, because as a young person facing into the future of low wages, high rents and poor prospects, I'm terrified, and the only way that we can change that dynamic is by changing the balance of power in this country, and making it a more democratic country, bringing things into the interests of the vast majority rather than the few, and the likes of Leo Varadkar we have masks of here today.
All right, well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the air today. That's the part I will agree with at the end. I'm sure it is terrifying for young people facing a future in this country. Robbie, I'll come back to you in a few minutes. Let me go to Susan. Susan, you're on Classic Hits. Sorry for keeping you waiting, Susan.
That's okay, no problem. I'm an estate agent, so we kind of see things from both sides, you know, whether it's rentals or sales or whatever. I think that there is a huge crisis just around the corner, and it's not, say, the kind of crash that we had before. It's more to do with the social kind of the rental aspect, the way that people are using private rental properties as a means of social housing. And I think most school children that are in junior school, first and second year, would tell you that it's not going to work. It's not sustainable. The costs are not sustainable.
No.
The rents are going up, but that's a lot to do with the HAP scheme. In fact,
we can't continue to hand out 18 and 1900 euro a week or a month, you know, for HAP. Yes. We just can't continue to do that, because all we're doing is funding landlords.
And it's the essence of what's wrong with what's going on, because we need to get that money from somewhere, because it doesn't grow on trees. So we have to take it from the people that are working. They're struggling to try and even buy because, you know, mortgages, you can only get a certain amount, et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to put their deposits together and they're living at home.
And they're going up too. Yeah,
exactly. But there are no rental properties. I have people coming to my office every day from all different countries, and as soon as they arrive, they're told, yes, go and find something and we will pay for it. We can't even house our own people. It's just not working.
So what's the, as somebody who's in the business, who on the, I suppose, the front line, so to speak, what is the solution?
What I would do immediately is I would take away the tax from the rents. I've got many, many landlords. People assume that landlords are like Toad of Toad Hall, that he's rolling around in this money. They're not. They're people that bought second properties in the boom. They're only coming up to kind of getting out of the negative equity now. And, you know, they want to sell. They're selling by the day. The last four properties I sold are actually ex-rentals.
Right.
Because first of all, they're paying half of that straight away. It's added as an income before it even pays the mortgage.
So half it goes back in tax, and the other half won't even pay the mortgage. They're probably paying on the property.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing is, it's just going around.
Why are landlords, by the way? I mean, because you're used to dealing with them. Why is it that many councillors have said to us today, including I think Paul Murphy mentioned it as well, that many landlords are refusing the HAP scheme? Why is that? Why do you think that is?
They're not refusing the HAP scheme. A lot of landlords are actually not tax compliant. I live in a beautiful house in Kildare. There's four bedrooms. I mean, you know, it's like a show house. But if I was to put this on the market tomorrow and rent it to a HAP person, I would have to pour about 9,000 into it to bring it up to the acceptable level for HAP.
Okay, so that's part of the reason. Some are not tax compliant either. And they're probably
exactly.
taking cash
they
as
could
well.
Be in negotiations with the revenue, and that could take some time, you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they're full, and it could be just a discrepancy that their accountant has seen. So, you know, there's lots of different reasons why they can't take cash. But straight away, this certain group of people that we both know that I'm talking about, they get onto all this social media and they're saying landlords are greedy and they're, you know, disgusting and many other names that I don't really want to say on radio. And, you know, they're just calling them these disgusting names. I have people coming into me and they're saying to me, Susan, I'm still in negative equity. Can I sell? And I said, yes, but you'll be left with maybe a spillover of about 30 grand. You might have to spend the next 15 years to pay that off. What about renting it for another year, just till the prices get maybe a little bit better? And she burst into tears. She said, I can't go through that again. She had a lady in there on a RAS scheme, which is kind of basically turning a private property into a council house. And she was a nightmare. You know, she, her own washing machine, I think, is 10 years old, this lady.
Yeah.
But she went, she bought a new one every year.
Yeah.
You know, and it was demand and I want and I'm entitled.
So do you believe that the sense of entitlement has also increased the demand?
Honest to God, you should come into my office for a day. The entitlement is completely off the scale. We're turning into a socialist country. Anyone that I know that's on any kind of middle income is just sick to their teeth of it. Obviously, people with children and their single parents, you can't look at them the wrong way because they start talking about, you know, what happened in the past and, you know, the laundries and all this kind of thing. So they're untouchable. You can't even say to them, well, hold on, you've got four children, you're in a hotel and you're pregnant again. How did that happen if you're in one room?
Yeah.
Like, what's the story? You know, no one can say anything to them.
And you're not even allowed to suggest, is there fathers for the children? Are they paying anything? Are they supporting their children? Are they helping to maintain the children?
What happened? Yeah, did you just fall over and get pregnant? And, you know, nobody is questioning this. And it's turning into a social... And anyone that I know that's halfway intelligent but has a decent job is just saying, right, well...
Okay, well then, isn't this part of the bigger... This is the real problem, isn't it? The sense of entitlement in the last, particularly the last 6 or 7 years, has gone through the ceiling. And anybody who has an ounce of intelligence, well, and people are telling me all the time, I might as well pack in me job because it's easier. I get a house for nothing and I get all these benefits, are basically saying, I'm entitled to, and they want a house.
Exactly. And there is no incentive for anybody to keep going. We were told that the USC was an emergency tax and there it is. Hello, it's still there, you know? We're just sick and tired of having nothing left at the end of the month, and yet we see people in the same houses. We've been relying on the private developers to produce social housing. If it was me, I'd find pockets outside of Dublin. I'd build nice basic houses, because what are council houses?
But they won't take them. The problem is they won't take them.
Yeah, and this is it. And how do we say to them, well, hold on, if you don't take them, what can we do to them? That's why they're untouchable. We can do nothing
to
them.
Because the left will tell you you can't put them out on the street.
Well, this is it. So you what can we do? You know, I mean, there are a few.
Well, there's nothing we can do apart from just keep wasting taxpayers' money, just providing everything for people who want it.
Exactly.
And you're right,
so
it is. You're right. We're turning into a socialist society.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What
and it's just a circle that just keeps going around. We take half the rent.
Well, eventually we're going to run out of taxpayers, because eventually the people who are on middle incomes are going to go, I'm sick of this.
Exactly.
I'm not paying tax anymore.
And that's what's happening. And that's why I think there's something around the corner. We haven't seen it before. It's not going to be like the crash that we've seen.
Move your phone there. Move your phone, Susan. Sorry. It's gone in and out. Go ahead, yeah.
It's not like what we've seen before with the property to do with financial and stuff like that. It's more of a social housing crisis because the landlords are leaving the market by the day.
Okay, just finally, Susan, before we go into the break, in relation to this occupation movement, it started in Cork last week with the Connolly group, and now this week, of course, we see so many groups involved in this, and Paul Murphy now encouraging people to occupy vacant homes, encouraging civil disobedience, essentially.
Yeah, well, he's a socialist anyway.
Well, he is. So. Well, a champagne socialist, yeah. he's just back from Greece from his Halliers, isn't he?
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Yeah. So, I mean, Susan, do you think this is, will work? Does it draw attention to the problem, or what? Does it make any difference whatsoever?
Well, first of all, I'm not surprised, because landlords are losing their rights by the day. They literally have no rights. They're going to get it to the stage that even if you need to move back into the property because you become homeless, I know everyone loves that word, you can't even move back. So they're trying to bring it in.
Oh, I know. It took a friend of mine who has got a second property. It took him nearly just over a year to get a woman and her three children out of his house.
They're now trying to make it 3 years. Okay, so that person...
She wouldn't even pay the rent for that year and a half. He was in court twice.
They have no rights.
And when he got his house back, it cost him 16,000 to fix it.
Sorry.
It was destroyed.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It really is. And something's going to happen, and I just don't know. I mean, it's like a bubble, and it's just going to burst, and I don't know what's going
to
happen.
All right, but listen, Susan, thank you very much. I have to take a break. Listen, thank you very much indeed. By the way, somebody says about Susan, that lady Susan on your programme is the best contributor on your show so far. Hope those lefty wasters are listening, says, I think it's Mike. The lady Susan on your programme is the best contributor to your show. Somebody says, hi, Niall. Both you and your caller illustrate how bad social management by government has got you in fighting and bewildered. Most major cities are cleaned and serviced by low-income workers. So city centre social housing will always be required. Your taxes would be better serviced by not throwing money into the bottomless pit of HAP schemes and emergency accommodation. But that suits the Fine Gael free market model, says Martin in Limerick. Wouldn't necessarily agree with you, Martin, to be honest with you. I don't think it suits them. Keep texting 53544. I imagine Leo Varadkar would hope to think this nightmare goes away. Then we go back to Robbie, who's outside in Summerhill this, at the moment, this building that's being occupied, but also another building that's been occupied not too far away. He's with the person involved.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Niall. You were outside number 35 here in Summerhill. There's going to be other vacant premises around the area that's connected to number 35. Going to be, I think, not broken into, but going to be opened up later on.
Opened up? Is that a fancy word for broken into?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
But I'm here with Andrew, and Andrew's girlfriend is an activist. She was here last night. But Andrew has a story himself, because he's actually a squatter. Andrew, just let me get this right. Your friend of 15 years lived in the flat.
Yeah.
He passed away last year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Of cancer, but he gave you the keys to live there. So you're there unofficially living in his home for the last 9.5 months. Am I correct?
9.5 months, yes.
And Andrew, can I ask, and by the way, condolences on the loss of your friend, Andrew, and I'm sorry to hear that, okay? But can I ask you, in relation to the property that your friend was living in, was it his own property or is it his council property?
No, it's council.
Okay, so he didn't own it to give you the keys.
He gave me the keys.
But he didn't own it to actually give you the keys. That's not the way it's meant to work.
He just didn't want to see it boarded up.
Right, okay.
The rest of them are boarded up in this town.
So you've been squatting in it ever since?
I've been squatting there now 9.5 months.
And have you got water and electricity?
I have water, electricity.
And how can you pay a bill?
I'm more happier now than I ever was.
I'm delighted for you. But how can you pay a bill, Andrew, if you're squatting?
Well, the card is there. The rent card is there.
Right, okay.
The ESB card is there. Everything's there.
So you're kind of paying as him, so to speak, is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay, under his name.
I'm more or less a ghost.
Right, okay. And look, I'm not going to completely disagree with what you're doing. At least you've somewhere to live, and you know, and at least you're paying for it, and you're paying your rent, and you're paying your electricity, and you're paying everything else. And obviously, you're not taking it on anybody in particular, because sadly, your partner has passed away, or your friend has passed away.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, do you think it's acceptable for people, as Paul Murphy, encourage people to go out and just occupy vacant houses?
Well, you have to be stand up being counted, you know, in this country, you know where. A lot of people are out there now, you know, stressed out. It's bad on their mental health, you know.
But occupying somebody else's house is essentially, what you're doing is not really trespassing. I mean, I'm sure the council would have an issue with it, but from a legal point of view, it's a civil matter. But if it was a private property, you would be breaking the law.
Well, sometimes you have to break the law for the judge to hear where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come down to that then, doesn't it? Down to the courts.
But do you believe do we all have the right to have a home? Is that what you're trying to say to me?
We all have a right to have a home, you know.
And do we not also have an obligation to have some responsibility for ourselves as well in relation to paying for that home?
Oh, of course. Well, you know, it's like everything else. Like, you know, we're put on the back foot for years, you know. The last few years now myself, I got very stressed out, and I was nearly on the verge of committing suicide. I had walked out to a woman on the soup run at the bank and told her I was fed up. I felt like throwing myself into the Liffey.
Well, nobody wants to see you do anything like that now, in fairness, Andrew.
And I'd never thought I'd ever say it on air. I'd never ever thought I'd ever talk about this.
I would like to think that you would get to talk to somebody and talk to somebody probably more professional than me in relation to that. I'm glad you're okay now.
I'm a roof over my head.
And can I ask you a question? If it's not too personal a question, Andrew, have you ever taken drugs or alcohol?
No.
Okay, so you don't drink or take drugs?
Full stop, no.
All right, okay. And are you working at the moment?
I have to get a bit of work. I'm not working at the moment, but I have to get a bit of work, you know.
And how long have you been out of work yourself?
I've been out of work the last 3 years.
Right, okay.
3 odd years. I was only doing little part-time jobs here and there. It wasn't much, €25. you know.
Right, okay.
Standing there with a sign in town.
All right, and are you going to be dropping around to the other building later on to help them occupy it, or are you going to stick to your own one?
Of course, yeah, I'm going to give them a hand. You know, because I know what it's like, you know. It's frustrating.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, all right. And I appreciate you talking to us today. Robbie,
God bless.
Okay, and you too. Robbie.
Niall, how are you?
Yeah, getting back to the office, but the main building that's been occupied. So they're all still in there. There seems to be a lot of people, a lot of politicians. I suppose, hanging around and councillors hanging around, maybe all looking for a photo opportunity. I don't know what they're doing there.
Absolutely, yes, I totally agree with you. Yeah, as you know, we spoke to a few of them today. There's a little table set up now outside with all anti-eviction handbook leaflets being handed out, slum landlords, biscuits, lollipops, pens. I don't know what that's coming up all of a sudden to do, but it's obviously to give information about people obviously involved in the situation, who feel are involved in the situation or who are homeless today. But I actually heard a lot of cards beeping and supporting them today as well. The media have been here since early. And, of course, last night it was over 150 people there supporting them as well. So it seems to be kind of getting traction now as you speak at the moment.
All right. Well, listen, Robbie, thank you very much indeed. There you go. There's Robbie Kane, a reporter up at Summerhill. If you're in the area and you do support them, you can beep your horn. If you don't support them, I suppose you can stay quiet. In relation to what Andrew was talking about, the way he felt, by the way, if you ever do have any feelings like that, you can contact, of course, the usual helplines and Pieta House on 1-800-247-247, or you can contact the Samaritans if you want to at 116-123. They're the helpline numbers in case you do feel like that.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.